I'd like us to begin by saying the invocation, but adding something. This isn't the usual way we do it, but it gives a certain feeling about the invocation in the two parts, the first half toward the one and the second half united with all. So as we say it, when we say toward the one, could we put our hands not in the namaste sort of position, but out in front, almost like you're the bow of a ship cutting through all the stuff of life on the toward the one half. And then when we say united with all, put the palms up and just feel that difference as part of the invocation. Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. The line in the Christian Gospels, there's a line where it talks about a cloud of witnesses. And that line, united with all the illuminated souls. And there's this wonderful line, a cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by a host of unseen beings and forces that are all there for our benefit. So I'd like to read a few lines from Pier Vilayat about light. It seems obvious to me, but you could ask the question, why do practices with light? And some of the comments from Pier Vilayat. I realize that part of my awakening and understanding and fulfilling my task requires of me to awaken the light even in my very body and become luminous, because that's the weapon that dispels the bad intention and abuse. We awaken our nostalgia for life. By communing with that light, we reinforce each other's light in mutual recognition. It alters our sense of identity. Light liberates us from the emotional gravitational pull of the self-image, the narrow constraints of our self-image. Light is part of our yearning for freedom. The task at hand is to become conscious of being a being of light and to make it real. It gives us a sense of our real being. It strengthens your capacity for love and glorification. The light of awareness can give you power because it manifests as truth, and truth is the greatest source of power. And he has this line, we awaken it by discovering it. So meditation is experience, it's not information. And there's this interesting situation with imagination. sometimes you'll hear a person say, oh, that's just imagination, like dismissing it. And there's a difference between fantasy and imagination. Fantasy sort of just goes all over. It doesn't have much of a structure or direction. Whereas imagination is the creative unknown focused in a specific direction. So like this very building we're sitting in, it began as imagination. They didn't just grab the wood and start building. Someone imagined what was possible. We are each imagining our lives. And that even that kind of imagination is the lower level of the imaginal plane. So when we imagine something, there's a great behind it, a great creative force. And I want to just comment for a moment on, because when we do the practice, I don't want to have to stop and explain too much. But the practice of turning the eyes up and turning the tongue up. So one of our main faculties, of course, is seeing. And we're always looking out. And just as the soul cannot see itself, the eyes cannot see themselves. We're looking through the eyes, but they can't see themselves. So when we close our eyes and you gently turn your eyes upward, it's the sense of pulling away from the external everyday life. But just to do it in a comfortable way, not just, you know, straining your eyes or something, but just when we do it, just to gently turn the eyes upward. And with turning the tongue, in some of the centers of things, they relate to specific glands and so forth, but some of them don't. And two of the primary are the pineal gland and the pituitary. And when you curl your tongue back so it touches the roof of the mouth between the back, the top two molars at the back, you can feel the roof of the mouth goes back and then there's like a soft spot. And by touching that spot, you are having a very subtle impact on the brain which is above that spot. In the yogic or Hindu traditions, they talk about hearing the inner sound and the inner fragrance, and that's the spot where you can have what they call an inner taste. A kind of a nectar. The practice Kasab, Hazrat Nayak Khan talks about how it is connected with illumination and light. That's the alternate nostril, breathing left to right, right to left, and then in and out both nostrils. And as we do Kasab, as we're breathing in left, you can sort of focus on the left side of the spine. And like as you inhale, that the energy is sweeping up the left side. And then we'll hold our breath and turn the eyes upward, curl the tongue back, and just hold the breath. There's a system of counting and a certain rhythm. But for now, we'll just hold the breath as long as you're comfortable. But don't do it any exaggerated so you're sort of like almost out of breath. And then as you exhale down the right side, again, concentrate on the sense of a flow of energy coming down the right side. Pir Zia spoke the other day of how we're sort of a line down the middle. We have two arms, two legs, two nostrils, two eyes, the two sides. And so this one of the beginning aspects is that this practice helps to balance energy. And then as we inhale the right side, the right nostril, again, the sense of the energy sweeping up the right side, along the right side of the spine, holding the breath, turning the eyes upward, like you're looking at the crown center at the top of the head, the fontanelle, and then exhaling down the left. And then when we inhale both nostrils, start at the bottom of the spine, bringing the energy straight up the spine, holding the breath. And when you exhale both nostrils, a sense of it parting and coming down along both sides to meet at the bottom again. So we'll do this each at our own rhythm. And we'll do it three breaths, breathing left, holding, and out the right. Three breaths in the right, holding, and out the left. And then three breaths in and out both nostrils. And beginning with a very full exhalation. So, and one hand position that's recommended is to take the right hand and place the thumb gently under the chin, rest the index or pointer finger on the cheek, and use the middle finger to close the right nostril. Cup the hand around and use the thumb for the left nostril. So you have both hands up in sort of a balanced position. So at your own pace, do a full exhalation, and then begin inhaling the left nostril. Keep the breath refined, not any huffing or puffing, but just at your own rhythm and capacity. It's just a very quiet, refined breath. As you hold the breath, turn the eyes upward and start to curl the tongue back as you hold the breath. Place it on the soft part of the palate. You can relax the tongue as you exhale and inhale, but as you hold it, the breath, turn the tongue back and upward. When you finish, come back to just a relaxed breath in and out the nose. In one of the Gatha teaching papers where Murshid Hazarat Nayak Khan is speaking about kasab, he says, after having done kasab every day in the morning for a year, that's how he starts, after every day for a year, then one begins to feel, and he goes on about just feeling a certain magnetism, and even if you're in the city, feeling like you're out in the country, fresh air. But it's emphasizing the best we can to have a rhythmic daily practice. And this is one, the element breaths, this practice of kasab, these are sort of basic practices in the Anayati order. So people are encouraged to do them as regularly as is possible, but it's not that kind of thing of, oh, I haven't done my practices the last 2 days, what a bad person I am. You know, that's a waste of time. We do what we can do. So now we begin to be working, still working with the breath. The type of breathing where we just inhale and again feel the chest expand, then the diaphragm or stomach expands a little bit more, and at the end there's a very subtle expansion again of the chest. So it's chest, diaphragm, and a little more chest, both as you inhale and exhale. So just explore that way of breathing. And lean on the exhalation a little bit. I mean, extend the exhalation slightly and let the inhalation just be a natural response. And this is a wonderful breathing practice. Anytime you're not sure how you want to start or what you want to do, you can always come to this type of breathing. And you can do it anywhere. You can do it sitting in the subway in New York City with your eyes open, or at the airport waiting for a plane. So now, as at the end of the inhalation, hold the breath briefly and feel your physical heartbeat. And then a full, but not exaggerated, exhalation. Inhale, hold the breath, and tune into your physical heartbeat. Now also, as you hold the breath, not only feel the physical heartbeat, but can you feel in the same rhythm of the heart, the pulsing of your blood? Maybe you'll feel a little subtle pulse in your fingertips or your lower arms or neck or legs. But can you feel that there's this subtle pulse that's in sync with the heartbeat as it pulses through the circulatory system? And the next aspect is, as you hold the breath, can you feel not only your heartbeat and this subtle sense of the pulse, but just beyond your body, particularly around the chest, the shoulders, the back, like an inch, extending an inch or two out from your body, a pulsing in your life field, your aura, your magnetic body, but just beyond the body, as I said, particularly around the shoulders and the chest, can you feel that there's a little rhythmic synchronicity in the life field? And this takes a little practice. We are linked with the Ishraki tradition, the tradition of the illuminationists, the path of light. The path of awakening and illumination. But to bring that awakening and illumination, not just for ourselves, but to bring it into life, as part of our life's purpose. So there's been a couple of practices of going through the lataif, the subtle centers at the bottom of the spine, then right below the navel, and then coming up diagonally to the kalb, the latifa kalbia on the left side, and then the latifa ruhia, the ruh on the right side, and the sir, or latifa siria, in the middle of the chest, then coming up to the third eye and the crown center. So what we'll do now is place this and tone the sound hu, and come up through the centers. And as we do each one, when you do hu at the bottom of the spine, and then you inhale before doing the next who trace an energetic channel of light from the bottom of the spine up to just below the navel. And then we do who, like awakening that center. And then as you inhale, feel that line of light and life being drawn up to the heart center, the kulb on the left. And then as we blow who, awakening. So each time as you're inhaling, you're tracing the line, a pathway of light. Then we'll do who just once in each center. Who. 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 So going through, it's not long extended who's. Again, who, 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 who. Inhale. Once more. Who, 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 who. Just inhale, turn your eyes up comfortably, curl your tongue back in the roof of the mouth. Hold your breath for a moment. Focus your attention on the crown center at the top of the head. And just when exhaling, continue to keep your concentration focused on the crown center. Both inhaling, exhaling, hold the breath briefly. Keep your eyes and tongue. Let the breath draw you up to the crown center. As you exhale, feel that your attention is unfolding more and more fully like a fountain of light above the head. As you inhale, a sense of being drawn up, sense of buoyancy. As you exhale, not just the crown center, but a sense of the light flowing upward above the crown. Inhaling, being drawn up, swept up. Exhaling, the light expanding, unfolding. And hold the breath gently. And as you hold the breath, inhale, hold the breath, and think who. Just thinking it very gently, rising through the crown center. The great mystic Hildegard of Bingen talked about meditating above the crown and seeing a gate of light. And as she focused on that gate of light, it opened, and beyond it was another gate of light. And she drew herself toward that gate of light, and that gate opened, and there was still a further gate. Just whisper who, keeping the eyes turned upward. And then as you inhale, after saying who, feel the concentration of just a sense of the buoyancy, the freedom of light as you inhale. expanding landscape of light. Great master of light, Shahabuddin Suhrawardi, talked about the witness in the heavens, our angelic counterpart, the son of the heart, part of our being that's eternally pure and immaculate, untarnished by any effect of life in the world. Listen to a piece of music and just continue to keep your eyes up and breathe into the music. Just let feel the music. Don't try to think of light, but just try to feel light, feel the openness, the freedom, the purity of your being. Turn our palms up and we'll say 11 times, pour upon us thy love and thy light. And as you inhale, feel the shower of light washing down over you and within you. Like you're standing under a waterfall or a shower of blessing, of purity, of light. Pour upon us thy love and thy 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 light. Shahabadeen Suryavardi invoked his angelic counterpart, the Shaheed, the witness in the heavens, the guide of light, with a prayer. O thou, my Lord and Queen, my most holy angel, my precious spiritual being, thou art the spirit who gave birth to me, and thou art the child to whom my spirit gives birth. Thou art clothed in the most brilliant of divine lights. May thou manifest thyself to me in the most beautiful and highest of epiphanies. Show me the light of thy dazzling face. Be for me the mediator. Lift the veils of darkness from my heart. Amen. There's a practice with the three heart centers, of focusing on the kalb on the left for the unfoldment of wisdom, and for the ruh on the right for the unfoldment of illumination, and the unfoldment in the center of the chest. And the phrase Murshid gives is for the development of the soul. The development of the soul. So it's wisdom to the left, illumination to the right, and in the middle, the development of the soul. And we use the sounds to the left, ha, to the right, hu, and to the center, he. And you might person, the mind might think, well, we should do who in the center. But if you see with the he, what happens? The e starts to go, the sound starts to rise, that nasal sound, so it starts to automatically be drawn upward to the crown, to the third eye. And so it's turning our glance. Where we focus our attention, the breath will follow. So it's to the left is ha, to the right is hu, to the center is he. Ha. breathe in and out and feel all three centers simultaneously. Feel the openness, the fullness of your being. That's saying that we are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. Yesterday, Pircea led us in the prayer of light that's attributed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and saying Amen after each phrase. So as we do this now, with each phrase, really try to feel and identify with the phrase. Vinayak Khan has this wonderful phrase. He talks about the greatest pride with the greatest humility. So the pride is in the realization of one's luminous nature, that one is a being of light. And the humility is one understanding of it, is that's my self-identity. That's my ego. That's where I need to be careful and watch my behavior in life, how I interact with people, my responsibilities. But at the same time, that sense that one is a queen or a king of light, certain majesty of being, but at the same time this tremendous simplicity, authenticity, humility, and finding the right balance of those. O Lord, give me light in my eyes. Amen. Light in my ears. Amen. Light in my tongue. Amen. Light in my heart. Amen. Light in my soul. Amen. Place light on my right. Amen. Light on my left. Amen. Light above me. Amen. Light beneath me. Amen. Place light before me. Amen. Light behind me. Amen. O Lord, place light in my flesh. Amen. Light in my blood. Amen. Light in my bones. Amen. Light in my skin. Amen. Light in my hair. Amen. O Lord, give me light. Amen. increase my light. Ami, make me light. Ami. Lord of hosts, she is the Queen of Glory. The Al-Malik, the sense of majesty, the being of glory and splendid power, like Dhul Jalal Wal Ikram. So we'll say just 11 times, Ya Malik, a sense of majesty of one's being. Ya Malik, Ya Malik, Ya Malik, Ya Malik, Ya Malik, Ya Malik, Ya Malik. Ya Malik, Ya Malik, Ya Malik, Ya Malik. Again, that phrase from Murshid, beloved ones of God. And the secret one whispered to me, if I told you how much I love you, the whole world would burst into flames. Through all the ups and downs and the difficulties of life, to feel that some places a grounding in this great capacity for wisdom, compassion, love, and light. We have a wellspring within us. And as we go over to have breakfast in a moment, I want to encourage you to, again, be aware of your feet on the ground. And if you have a wazifa or a practice that you do that's walking, if not, just that sense of inhaling right foot, left foot, exhaling right, left, or if you're walking a little faster, inhaling right, left, right, left, and exhaling. And this is such a wonderful practice because you can bring it into all those everyday places. Parking in a parking lot somewhere and walking to a building, you can do the breath. Even in the supermarket, walking down these long aisles, you can just, once you've done it enough, it just starts to happen. You don't have to think, oh, I will do this practice now. It'll just bubble up. But we have to practice it at first. So we'll listen to another piece of music, and when you're ready, just leave and we'll go over for breakfast. But first, let's say the grace together. Thinking of that, the attitude of gratitude. no idea what the words of the grace are. Okay, would you start us? Thou sustainer of our bodies, our souls, bless all that we receive in thankfulness. Amen.